Steam was billowing from the train. It had started to move. Harry ran to the compartment door, and Ron threw it open and stood back to let him on. They leaned out of the window and waved at Mr. and Mrs. Weasley until the train turned a corner and blocked them from view. "I need to talk to you in private," Harry muttered to Ron and Hermione as the train picked up speed.
"Go away, Ginny," said Ron.
"Oh, that's nice," said Ginny huffily, and she stalked off.
Harry, Ron, and Hermione set off down the corridor, looking for an empty compartment. But all were full, except for the one at the very end of the train. This only had one occupant, a man sitting fast asleep next to the window. Harry, Ron, and Hermione checked on the threshold. The Hogwarts Express was usually reserved for students, and they had never seen an adult there before, except for the witch who pushed the food trolley. The stranger was wearing an extremely shabby set of wizard's robes, which had been darned in several places. He looked ill and exhausted. Though quite young, his light brown hair was flecked with grey.
"Who do you reckon he is?"
Ron hissed as they sat down and slid the door shut, taking the seats furthest away from the window.
"Professor R.J. Lupin," whispered Hermione at once.
"How do you know that?"
"It's on his case,"
replied Hermione, pointing at the luggage rack over the man's head, where there was a small, battered case held together with a large quantity of neatly knotted string. The name Professor R.J. Lupin was stamped across one corner in peeling letters.
"Wonder what he teaches,"
said Ron, frowning at Professor Lupin's pallid profile.
"That's obvious," whispered Hermione. "There's only one vacancy, isn't there? Defence against the Dark Arts."
Harry, Ron, and Hermione had already had two Defence against the Dark Arts teachers, both of whom had only lasted 1 year. There were rumours that the job was jinxed.
"Well, I hope he's up to it," said Ron, doubtfully.
"He looks like one good hex would finish him off, doesn't he? Anyway," he turned to Harry,
"what were you going to tell us?"
Harry explained all about Mr. and Mrs. Weasley's argument, and the warning Mr. Weasley had just given him. When he'd finished, Ron looked thunderstruck, and Hermione had her hands over her mouth. She finally lowered them to say,
"Sirius Black escaped to come after you? Oh, Harry, you'll have to be really, really careful. Don't go looking for trouble, Harry."
"I don't go looking for trouble," said Harry, nettled. "Trouble usually finds me."
"How thick would Harry have to be to go looking for a nutter who wants to kill him?" said Ron shakily.
They were taking the news worse than Harry had expected. Both Ron and Hermione seemed to be much more frightened of Black than he was.
"No one knows how he got out of Azkaban," said Ron uncomfortably. "No one's ever done it before. And he was a top-security prisoner, too."
"But they'll catch him, won't they?" said Hermione earnestly. "I mean, they've got all the Muggles looking out for him, too."
"What's that noise?" said Ron suddenly.
A faint, tinny sort of whistle was coming from somewhere. They looked all around the compartment.
"It's coming from your trunk, Harry," said Ron, standing up and reaching into the luggage rack.
A moment later he had pulled the pocket sneakerscope out from between Harry's robes. It was spinning very fast in the palm of Ron's hand, and glowing brilliantly.
"Is that a sneakerscope?"
said Hermione interestedly, standing up for a better look.
"Yeah, mind you, it's a very cheap one," Ron said. "It went haywire just as I was tying it to Errol's leg to send it to Harry."
"Were you doing anything untrustworthy at the time?"
said Hermione shrewdly.
"No. Well, I wasn't supposed to be using Errol. You know he's not really up to long journeys. But how else was I supposed to get Harry's present to him?"
"Stick it back in the trunk," Harry advised, as the sneakerscope whistled piercingly, "or it'll wake him up." He nodded towards Professor Lupin. Ron stuffed the sneakerscope into a particularly horrible pair of Uncle Vernon's old socks, which deadened the sound, then closed the lid of the trunk on it.
"We could get it checked in Hogsmeade," said Ron, sitting back down.
They sell that sort of thing in Dervish and Bangs, magical instruments and stuff. Fred and George told me.
"Do you know much about Hogsmeade?" asked Hermione, keenly. "I've read it's the only entirely non-Muggle settlement in Britain."
"Yeah, I think it is," said Ron, in an off-hand sort of way. "But that's not why I want to go. I just want to get inside Honeydukes."
"What's that?" said Hermione.
"It's this sweet shop," said Ron, a dreamy look coming over his face, "where they've got everything. Pepper imps, they make you smoke at the mouth, and great fat chocoballs full of strawberry mousse and clotted cream, and really excellent sugar quills which you can suck in class and just look like you're thinking what to write next."
"But Hogsmeade's a very interesting place, isn't it?"
Hermione pressed on eagerly. "In Sites of Historical Sorcery, it says the inn was the headquarters for the 1612 Goblin Rebellion, and the Shrieking Shack's supposed to be the most severely haunted building in Britain.
And massive sherbet balls that make you levitate a few inches off the ground while you're sucking them," said Ron, who was plainly not listening to a word Hermione was saying.
Hermione looked round at Harry.
"Won't it be nice to get out of school for a bit and explore Hogsmeade?"
"'Spect it will," said Harry heavily. "You'll have to tell me when you've found out."
"What do you mean?" said Ron.
"I can't go. The Dursleys didn't sign my permission form, and Fudge wouldn't either." Ron looked horrified.
"You're not allowed to come? But no way! McGonagall or someone will give you permission."
Harry gave a hollow laugh. Professor McGonagall, head of Gryffindor House, was very strict.
"Or we can ask Fred and George. They know every secret passage out of the castle."
"Ron!" said Hermione sharply.
"I don't think Harry should be sneaking out of school with Black on the loose."
"Yeah, I expect that's what McGonagall will say when I ask for permission," said Harry bitterly.
"But if we're with him," said Ron spiritedly to Hermione, "Black wouldn't dare." "Oh, Ron, don't talk rubbish," snapped Hermione. "Black's already murdered a whole bunch of people in the middle of a crowded street. Do you really think he's going to worry about attacking Harry just because we're there?"
She was fumbling with the straps of Crookshank's basket as she spoke.
"Don't let that thing out," Ron said,
but too late. Crookshanks leapt lightly from the basket, stretched, yawned, and sprang onto Ron's knees. The lump in Ron's pocket trembled, and he shoved Crookshanks angrily away.
"Get out of it!"
"Ron, don't!" said Hermione angrily. Ron was about to answer back when Professor Lupin stirred. They watched him apprehensively, but he simply turned his head the other way, mouth slightly open, and slept on. The Hogwarts Express moved steadily north, and the scenery outside the window became wilder and darker, while the clouds overhead thickened. People were chasing backwards and forwards past the door of their compartment. Crookshanks had now settled in an empty seat, his squashed face turned towards Ron, his yellow eyes on Ron's top pocket. At 1 o'clock, the plump witch with the food trolley arrived at the compartment door.
"Do you think we should wake him up?" Ron asked awkwardly, nodding towards Professor Lupin. "He looks like he could do with some food."
Hermione approached Professor Lupin cautiously.
"Professor," she said. "Excuse me, Professor?"
He didn't move.
"Don't worry, dear,"
said the witch, as she handed Harry a large stack of cauldron cakes.
"If he's hungry when he wakes, I'll be up front with the driver."
"I suppose he is asleep," said Ron quietly, as the witch slid the compartment door closed. "I mean, he hasn't died, has he?"
"No, no, he's breathing," whispered Hermione, taking the cauldron cake Harry passed her.
He might not be very good company, but Professor Lupin's presence in their compartment had its uses. Mid-afternoon, just as it had started to rain, blurring the rolling hills outside the window, they heard footsteps in the corridor again, and their three least favourite people appeared at the door. Draco Malfoy, flanked by his cronies, Vincent Crabbe and Gregory Goyle. Draco Malfoy and Harry had been enemies ever since they had met on their very first train journey to Hogwarts. Malfoy, who had a pale, pointed, sneering face,
was in Slytherin House. He played Seeker on the Slytherin Quidditch team, the same position that Harry played on the Gryffindor team. Crabbe and Goyle seemed to exist to do Malfoy's bidding. They were both wide and muscly. Crabbe was the taller, with a pudding-basin haircut and a very thick neck. Goyle had short, bristly hair and long, gorilla arms.
"Well, look who it is," said Malfoy, in his usual lazy drawl, pulling open the compartment door. "Potty and the Weasel."
Crabbe and Goyle chuckled trollishly.
"I heard your father finally got his hands on some gold this summer, Weasley," said Malfoy. "Did your mother die of shock?"
Ron stood up so quickly he knocked Crookshank's basket to the floor. Professor Lupin gave a snort.
"Who's that?" said Malfoy, taking an automatic step backwards as he spotted Lupin.
"New teacher," said Harry, who had got to his feet too, in case he needed to hold Ron back.
"What were you saying, Malfoy?"
Malfoy's pale eyes narrowed. He wasn't fool enough to pick a fight right under a teacher's nose.
"Come on,"
he muttered resentfully to Crabbe and Goyle, and they disappeared. Harry and Ron sat down again, Ron massaging his knuckles.
"I'm not going to take any rubbish from Malfoy this year," he said angrily. "I mean it. If he makes one more crack about my family, I'm going to get hold of his head and—"
Ron made a violent gesture in mid-air.
"Ron,"
hissed Hermione, pointing at Professor Lupin,
"be careful."
But Professor Lupin was still fast asleep. The rain thickened as the train sped yet further north. The windows were now a solid, shimmering grey, which gradually darkened until lanterns flickered into life all along the corridors and over the luggage racks. The train rattled, the rain hammered, the wind roared, but still Professor Lupin slept.
"We must be nearly there,"
said Ron, leaning forward to look past Professor Lupin at the now completely black window. The words had hardly left him when the train started to slow down.
"Brilliant,"
said Ron, getting up and walking carefully past Professor Lupin to try and see outside.
"I'm starving. I want to get to the feast."
"We can't be there yet,"
said Hermione, checking her watch.
"So why are we stopping?"
The train was getting slower and slower. As the noise of the pistons fell away, the wind and rain sounded louder than ever against the windows. Harry, who was nearest the door, got up to look into the corridor. All along the carriage, heads were sticking curiously out of their compartments. The train came to a stop with a jolt, and distant thuds and bangs told them that luggage had fallen out of the racks. Then, without warning, all the lamps went out, and they were plunged into total darkness.
"What's going on?" said Ron's voice from behind Harry. "Ouch!" gasped Hermione. "Ron, that was my foot!"
Harry felt his way back to his seat.
"Do you think we've broken down?"
"Dunno." There was a squeaking sound, and Harry saw the dim black outline of Ron wiping a patch clean on the window and peering out.
"There's something moving out there,"
Ron said.
"I think people are coming aboard."
The compartment door suddenly opened, and someone fell painfully over Harry's legs.
"Sorry, do you know what's going on? Ouch! Sorry!"
"Hello, Neville," said Harry, feeling around in the dark and pulling Neville up by his cloak.
"Harry, is that you? What's happening?"
"No idea. Sit down." There was a loud hissing and a yelp of pain. Neville had tried to sit on Crookshanks.